Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win Album of the Year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Live.
You down with Rappaport? Yes, I am. You down with Rappaport? Yes, I am. You down with Rappaport? Yes, I am. You down with Rappaport? Yes, I am.
You better tune in, IamRappaport.com. Cause every single podcast, you know he drops bombs. I seen him on set, a seasoned vet with true talent. Catch him on his way to CrossFit, rocking the New Balance. He asked me to do the track cause he know I rhyme elite. But I'm just waiting for the Robert De Niro line of the week. Breakfast of champions, toasted bagel, cream cheese and lox. This is I Am Rappaport, the show never stops. You might catch him out in public, stretching his knees. But if you don't listen to the show, yo, wig up please.
Wig up please.
This is the I Am Rappaport Podcast.
All right. This is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast coming live and direct from the gloom tomb of New York City. My name is Michael Rappaport. Some people call me the Gringo Mandingo. Some people call me White Mike. Other people call me Mr. White Folks. Some people just call me Folks. And this is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. All right, so this is what it is today. We have a big television personality joining me on the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Mr. Andy Cohen, who is most famous for being the host of arguably one of my favorite TV shows, Watch What Happens Live. He's also the executive producer of all of some of my favorite TV shows, the entire Real Housewives franchise, which I am so not ashamed to tell you that I love. I've talked about it many times on the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, and basically this is what I can tell you about the Real Housewives franchise. When I watch some of those shows, some of those episodes, I have literally clapped at the television. They are funny. They are emotional, they are entertaining, and at times genuinely dramatic. And I know you might be like, what the fuck are you talking about, Michael Rappaport? Gringo Mandingo, have you lost your fucking mind? No, I haven't. Don't judge from afar, okay? Trust me. You don't know what entertainment is like until you're watching a Real Housewives of Atlanta episode and you get a wig snatch, okay? Where do you think the wig snatch became famous from? Now it's all over and every reality show has people snatching wigs. Where do you think it all started? Okay? I love the Housewives show. I love Bravo. And I love Watch What Happens Live. I actually won an award. I won the Bravo-aholic award. The first time it's ever been given. I won it this year. I was voted by the fans as the quote-unquote celebrity fan who loves fucking Bravo more than anyone else. It was an honor. It was a privilege. My life has changed dramatically since I won that award. Okay? But in all seriousness, I love my reality housewife shows. And I'm looking forward to talking to Andy Cohen about how he became Andy Cohen. He sort of emerged on the scene. He was an executive at Bravo, and then he became the face of Bravo. And his show, Watch What Happens Live, you know, at first you'd be like, what the fuck is this show? You know, I think people looked at it as a joke, same way some people looked at the Housewives shows as a joke. But I think it's like 12 seasons later. Who's the fucking joke on now? The Watch What Happens Live show is a stop when A-list celebrities are promoting something. Oprah, J-Lo, I mean, everybody's been on Watch What Happens Live. It ain't a joke. Andy Cohen ain't no joke. And I'm a tremendous fan of him, his story, and, you know, like I said, his show. So I'm looking forward to talking to him. The Ian Rapoport Stereo Podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattress. Casper Mattress is an award-winning sleep company. All right, I sleep on a Casper mattress every single day. They are so behind their product that they guarantee you will love it. You could sleep on the mattress for 100 nights. 100 nights. If you do not like your Casper mattress, they will pick it up and refund you everything for free. For free. That is satisfaction guaranteed. Go to Casper.com/Rappaport. Use the promo code Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T. It's Casper Mattress, C-A-S-P-E-R. If you use the promo code, you get $50 off your purchase. I love my Casper mattress. They have sheets. They have pillows. The brand is getting bigger and bigger, but the product remains the same. Fair prices, great quality. Go to CasperMattress.com. By the way, G Monetti will not be joining me on this I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. He's getting ready for the world tour. The I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast world tour will be starting July 28th in Minneapolis, July 29th in Milwaukee with the iconic, the great Latrell Sprewell, and then the 31st in Chicago. Go to IamRappaportTour.com. All tickets are available. It's going to be fun nights. We're having after parties. It's going to be some good shit. All right. And trust me, at the after parties, you're not going to hear any whack music. You're hearing soul, funk, hip hop, reggae. Anything that's fly, anything that's funky will be played at the after party, especially in Minnesota on the 28th. We're getting it in. This is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. This is probably my most
stereo podcast.
Andy, I don't know what kind of podcast you have. I don't know what kind of sound you got in here.
What?
It's in stereo.
Wow, this stereo is in stereo. Sound.
Yeah, is wow. Is that make you nervous or intimidated?
I think it really ups the ante of the podcast.
Yeah, you just thought it was just going to be right. Yeah,
because yeah, no, I see I you like perked that. Up That's there. Cool.
All right, so yep. I'm going to keep it brief because we're about to go live on Watch What Happens Live. Let me just get right into it.
Don't keep it brief.
Did you ever imagine...
Did you introduce me or anything?
I already
to the
did
people?
The introduction.
Oh, you did? Okay.
The people know. The people
okay.
are excited.
All right.
I did it. If I played you the introduction, you would blush.
Oh, that's nice.
You would blush.
Okay.
All right. So I'll just jump right into it. Did you ever imagine that Watch What Happens Live would turn into what it is now, which is essentially a regular stop for A-list celebrities on the late night tour when they're promoting something or just stopping by to say hello? I mean, in your right. wildest dreams.
In my fantasy, yes, but I didn't think... No, I mean, trust me. I'm a producer, and
right.
I was a TV exec. So you got to know that it was my dream to be on camera originally.
It was.
And then I gave it up, and I loved what I was doing. I loved producing. I was in charge of programming at Bravo. When I went in for my interview at Bravo, if I had said, I want to be the face of the network or I want to host a late night show, they would have not hired me.
They would have said,
he has bad intentions, right, and he's trying to get on the air. And the thing that always really fucked me up and made me...
I never heard you curse before.
Always got... Oh, listen to Radio Andy, because it's my favorite thing about the radio on Sirius. I can curse. The thing that got me crazy was when people, after the show premiered, when people said, oh, he gave himself a talk show. It used to get under my skin. Because it's not... If you're in charge of programming at Bravo or anywhere, it's really hard to get your own show greenlit. You wind up making a real douche of yourself,
right,
in front of everyone you work with,
right,
and then you put your, and then it's like you're done,
right,
you know.
But like, okay, so that's cool, but mm-hmm, like it's become such a staple of late night. It's like Kimmel, you know, what's his name, Jimmy Fallon,
yeah,
the other dude,
Corden. Yes.
I, you know, I don't fact check. That's one of the things that they
like.
You're one of the people. I mean, it's become like a staple place for people to go promote.
Listen, I'm very proud of it. Very excited. There's a shitload of people that won't do the show still that say it's not a fit, it's not my thing,
right,
who don't get me or don't get the show or think it's going to be something
else. They think
they're
too fucking cool. Well,
yeah,
you can say
or they think it is all about the Housewives, but it's right, only about the Housewives on nights where the Housewives air. And so, you know, but it's cool. Listen, I view every big new booking as a feather in my cap,
right,
and something that's hard earned.
Right.
And when someone new comes in that I've never had on, I kind of think, wow, this is awesome. And it gives me, you know, it makes me excited.
Besides myself, who was the guest that you were most nervous about interviewing the first time they came on the show?
Besides you.
Besides me, of course. You don't have to say that. I know that. That's, we don't have to state the obvious.
Right. Besides you, you know, it was Oprah, just because I was a huge Oprah fan. Like, I have probably seen something like 80% of the 25 years of the Oprah Winfrey Show that aired. Like, I was a real... And I wanted it to be great. And
right,
you know what? It was great.
Right.
It was a great fucking episode. It was great. Like, I did a great interview with her, and I'm really proud of
that's
it.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, your interviewing skills, when it's just, first of all, you have a good sense of humor, but when you're just doing straight interviews, you're as good as everybody else.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, like.
It's weird because the format is kind of like short attention span theater. So it's like.
It's,
you know,
quick hits, right?
Yeah, it's quick. So it makes me wish that sometimes I wish I could just let it breathe and go, but that's not this show. And that's why I'm having fun on the radio.
Right.
And I do get to just sit and talk, you know?
Who's the one guest that you really want that you haven't had on the show yet?
You know, Michelle Obama has done every show but this. Like, she's done The Chew, she's done CSI.
She has to love Housewives.
She does, apparently.
Does she really?
Say, yeah, apparently. She's a big Atlanta fan, and she said to me at a thing I hosted like 3 years ago, she goes, I will do your show very late in the second term, which, by the way, is right now, but her people say it's not going to happen.
Well,
so
Michelle,
I don't think it's
going to
happen.
No, she listens. I'll do it right now. Michelle, Miss Obama,
thanks.
Please, now's the time.
Thanks.
Don't wait till it's too late.
Did you send a tweet saying that Ivanka Trump was like Marilyn Munster in the Munsters?
No, that wasn't mine. I've been
so funny.
There's been some great stuff on the internet. I've been, you know, I haven't been as sort of emotionally involved. I'm sure a lot of people with politics up until this year, because it's such a fervor. It's such an emotional fervor.
It really is.
You feel whether what side you care, Republican, there's just some sort of like it's like a barroom brawl.
It is like a brawl.
And crazy. And that's what concerns me.
Yes.
Like anyway, I don't want to get too down.
I was going to say, I mean, you know, that's. God, I mean, something that if Trump like had a little bit of decorum, maybe I would like him more. I would maybe respect him more. It's funny. I thought George Bush was horrible, but I look back at him and
you're
actually
like,
have respect on him for him because he tried to be dignified or at least try to have respect for the office.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I just hate to see the country in a in a gross, you know, I mean, I don't know. I just don't like it.
The insults, you just feel the volatility. What did you think?
And I'm the housewives guy. Right. You know what I mean?
No, I hear, right. You're the wig snatch king.
I have a big, you know that if Trump is on the debates talking about his dick size and I'm offended.
That's what I'm saying. There's something,
you know, because I have a high tolerance.
Me too. Yeah. But it's like, I also know, like, there's a place and a time to talk about your dick game.
I want you to be the president
right. And this is how you're talking?
That's what I'm saying.
What did you think? Because I was offended. I can't remember the guy's name, the PayPal guy name, who's probably fucking rich out of his ass, who said, I'm gay and I'm a Republican.
Well, you know what?
Me personally, I'm like, whoop-de-f- like, you're using that as a selling point?
Well, I think that it was, you know, the Republicans got the five black people who are for Trump.
Who I think they were brought in by extras casting, but I don't know for sure.
And then they got in a Latino, and then they found the gay guy. And, you know, to me, what offends me, and I was talking to a friend of mine who's in his 20s, and he said, I thought it was great, and you can be gay and Republican. And I'm such a hard ass when it comes to gay stuff, because I have lived through discrimination and, you know, Reagan's press secretary laughing when asked a question about AIDS and through the whole gamut. So it's very serious to me. It was a big deal to me when Bill Clinton said the words, you know, gay and lesbian in his first speech at the convention. That was a huge thing for us.
Right.
He went on to pass Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which was horrible. But it's like we were looking for scraps and morsels. So when this guy who's very rich, the PayPal guy, gets up and says, I'm a proud gay Republican, whatever, you know, I can't live with the fact that the GOP platform this year was the most anti-gay platform in years. Mike Pence wants to convert you. He believes that gay people can be converted to be straight.
Right.
It's not possible. Guess what? I have a newsflash for everybody. If I could have been straight, I would have chosen to be straight. Mm. I don't think people would choose to be gay. Mm-hmm. Guess what? It kind of sucks at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You have to come out to everybody. Some people turn on you. They call you faggot. Mm-hmm. It's not great. Mm-hmm. People make fun of you. Mm-hmm. If you could choose, you would have chose. I would be the biggest pussy hound on the planet. Like, I would be, like, it would be great. I would have kids by now, whatever. This wasn't possible to me at the time. I sound like Reza. I'm really, like, in a frenzy. But
I call him Rizza. I don't know.
But I just, we got off track. But I just want to say, so that's why I got really hardcore about this guy. I was like, I was watching his speech and I thought, in a perfect world, this would be great. But you know what? I can't reconcile this with what Mike Pence really stands for. And I believe...
And that crowd. Like go into that crowd. Go deep into that crowd.
I mean,
and go in, like, and see what the fuck they're... Like, you think that, like, that's cool? Like, you think they're... These people...
They were so excited for him to say, I'm a gay Republican, because it makes them look good and
like,
inclusive.
Oh, look, the gay Republican, he's here supporting
us. This is okay.
It's bullshit.
But it's fucked up. And I think that Trump probably is way more pro-gay than he's kissing the ass of the evangelicals.
I agree.
And, you know, I'm sure he would do, you know, he would be fine about it. But anyway, that's my rant about that. I apologize.
No worries. No, it's all good. The world is being attacked. You need five housewives. To save the world. Only five. Maybe you get a sixth one just in case shit gets out of hand. You get five housewives. Basically, your top five housewives.
Well, no, I am not going to do top five.
Okay, then to save the world.
Five to save the world.
Save the world then.
Okay. I'm going to do Bethany.
One.
Heather Dubrow.
Okay.
Phaedra.
Okay.
Siggy from Jersey. Yep.
Wow.
She's only been on three episodes.
Siggy.
But I can tell, you know what? I'm picking the Jews because I think Jews get things done.
Yes,
you know
yes,
what I'm saying?
Yes, and Israeli Jews, it's a whole other level of toughness.
Yeah, Heather Dubrow and her, I'm picking the Jews.
Okay,
they
and then
don't
you get one more.
Around. Okay, I'm going to Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And
save the world, man. Think it through. Don't fuck around here.
Anything can happen.
We need five of them.
I know. Hold on. I'm just trying to go through.
I can't believe it's making you think so much. Like, I would think that you have...
Well, I'm serious about this.
No, yeah, it's the world's coming to an end.
The specific question is saving the world.
Right, yes. We don't want to say top five. We can't pick favorites. It's saving the world.
No, it's not top five.
It's airplanes. It's some Star Wars shit.
Yeah, it's some Star Wars shit.
Like fighting. It's street fighting. It's combat.
All right, Tamara.
Okay.
I'm going two for most.
Do you want to take one more? Like, do you have any?
No, that's good. Five. You asked.
Do you ever worry, like this year, New Jersey Housewives, Teresa comes home from jail.
Yeah.
Very dramatic.
Yeah.
Very compelling. Very emotional. So far, otherwise, the season's been sort of chill. Do you ever worry that the seasons are going to be like, do you ever like, shit, there's not enough drama?
Sometimes. Sometimes you wonder, but stuff happens. There's a reason we cast highly volatile women, so things usually happen. But, you know, it's interesting. I mean, there can be things that you never know what's going to happen, which is why this show works. And, you know, it's funny. Orange County and Beverly Hills are always a really slow burn. It takes sometimes with both of those, it could take 8 episodes for you to realize, oh, wait, OK, now this is where this is going and whatever. And I like that because I think it's interesting storytelling and I think it's how it happened. And so, yeah.
OK.
But yes, sometimes absolutely. But you just have to wait. And sometimes we extend shooting, but the longer you shoot, the more shit goes on, and trust me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any regrets about any of the stuff that like has aired on reunions or any of the episodes where you're like, shit, I wish you could take back, where you're like, I wish that scene didn't go.
There are things. Yeah, sure. Oh, a lot.
Like, one that pops into your head?
Well, you know, you don't want any, I mean, that Kenya Porsche thing, you don't want people to get physical.
Were you freaking out when that happened?
I was.
Were you like, oh shit?
I was, you know what? I was stunned. And it's so, and you know, it shows how white I am that I didn't get that was about to, that a bullhorn, I thought the bullhorn was funny. I didn't realize how antagonized Portia felt and how.
But you didn't think also Portia, you didn't think, I didn't think, I was surprised because she was at the time, that was sort of like, you know, like her, like it revitalized, yeah, like it was like, no, she went into womanhood. Like,
yeah, no, it was crazy. So yeah, I was really surprised.
Okay. Have you?
Do your listeners know about all this stuff to this
day? Listen, if they do or they don't,
yeah,
they,
right.
Some of them do, some of them don't. I mean, some of the minutiae, but they know about you, and they know that they know that I'm a Bravo winner. Okay. They know that my life has changed since I won the Bravo.
Yes.
Okay, so and they know that I'm a fan. So I talk about the show. So I mean, some of they do, some of them don't.
Just curious.
Doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Have you spoken or heard from Joe and Apollo since they've been locked
no.
up?
No.
Do you have the urge to be like, yo, how you doing? Or send
you know,
a note?
I never had a deep relationship with either of them.
But just almost like on a business level, like in a way you become like, you work with them sort of.
But it's really about the wives. I had a much stronger drive to connect with Teresa she was gone. And I did. And
through,
Teresa
like
and
shit?
I, through letters, through emails,
through
this prison system. And when she left, she and I had a lunch together that I write about in my a book that's coming out this fall that was really deep and intense.
That's
and,
cool.
We had like right before she went. Yeah.
What do you want to do next? I don't know if it's true. You know, there's all this talk about Kelly.
No,
and it's gonna become.
I can't do it because
really,
I'm locked up here, so I couldn't do it if I wanted to.
So
the great thing about it is I co-hosted with her last week, and the cool thing about it was I wasn't auditioning, so I had such an it felt so easy and nice and fun and relaxed, so I didn't have to push. And I thought to myself, God, if I was auditioning for this, I would be terrorizing myself about this day and what am I wearing and what am I saying and whatever.
Right.
I went in and just did it, and it was good.
So you know, so all this stuff, like you hear the rumors.
I know, I'm happy that there
isn't
are all
that
these
crazy
rumors.
Though?
Yeah, it's good because it's just like, yeah, who knows? But it's not, yeah.
So what do you want to do next?
I mean, don't know.
Obviously,
you know,
this is a late night show.
I like, the thing about it is, for me to go to co-host with anyone, I have to say, this is my own show and I'm the EP. So basically, I get to make a lot of decisions.
You don't have to defer.
Bravo, you know, I was in charge of programming for the network for 10 years, so
shit.
I can kind of give myself notes. I can understand what the network wants. So, and I don't get notes from Bravo, really, at all.
Especially at this point.
Yeah. I'm 7 years in.
Yeah, because...
So to go co-host with someone else and have someone say, You know, I got pulled into the broadcasting booth at the MLB, at the Cardinal game the other day.
Right.
And I had thrown out the first pitch. I'm from St. Louis. And Jim Edmonds, who was doing play-by-play, is the husband of an Orange County housewife. And I got pulled into the broadcasting booth with him. But I forgot that that was a possibility, and I had eaten a pot lollipop during the second inning. And so now we're in the sixth inning.
You're
so
crazy.
It's kicking in, and I was like, oh, no. And now I am most comfortable in front of the camera. But I go into this broadcasting booth, and I was like, oh, no, this is bad. Like, I felt off my game, which is I never feel that way when
I hear you
on camera.
You feel disconnected to what you're saying,
yes,
right?
I would never go on TV stoned. I just would never do it. And
why are you winking at me when you said, I'll never go on TV stoned? Are you still winking?
No, I'm not
winking. I'm just playing.
But I did it, and they asked me how the Orange County Housewives started or how the Housewives started. And I first of all, couldn't believe that during the gameplay, they were asking me about this. Second of all, so I go, oh, these women, their boobs were bigger and their hair was blonder. And this guy said during the commercial break, look, Andy, this is a Major League Baseball broadcast. And, you know, you have to remember there are families watching and kids. You can't say boobs. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, there's a whole frontier out there. Every time I co-host with Hoda Kotb, I get in trouble. They're like, you can't say screwed. You can't say Jews that way. You can't do this.
The tone when you say Jews?
Yeah. Like,
even if you are a Jew.
Exactly. They were like, oh, I made a lesbian joke. Like, every time
With Hoda or on baseball?
Yeah, with Hoda. Every time I'm on, I get in trouble. So, you know, Bravo lets me do.
Right.
I can say dick. There's a lot of things I can say.
Right. You can't curse on Bravo though, right?
I can say dick. I can say pussy. I can't say shit or fuck.
It's so funny, isn't it? Funny.
But I'm happy with what I can say.
Yeah. It's better. Yeah, at least you could say dick and pussy.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. I know. You got to get ready to go do the show. One thing I'm curious about, and you articulate it in a way like. DaViva. Was that her name? DaViva?
Aviva.
Aviva.
DaViva.
With her leg,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Sometime housewives, they just leave. They're not on the show. Is it casting? Is it they want out? Is it you want out? Is it a little bit of both?
In that case, it was a situation of we felt like this had run its course.
I mean, she slammed her leg. It was fantastic.
It was amazing. The problem is,
it's hard to come back after you slam the leg.
Take your leg off and throw it in Le Cirque. Where do you go from here?
It's kind of like...
What else you got?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like Michael Jordan hitting the last shot. It's like I walk off the...
Now, that being said, Teresa flipped the table, and she's had seven other seasons.
Right.
But, I mean, it is a little bit... But with her, it was a case of the audience... You know, the audience either loves you, hates you, or loves to hate you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a good fit with the audience.
I got
they were
you.
Not asking for her back.
Like, and even like, what's her name? My girl Heather, the Holla Queen. I liked her.
No, Heather was good. If you know Heather, that was a situation where she was kind of done. It was, but if she really wanted to come back, that would have been a conversation.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's a different situation.
Depends on the woman. Mainly, they want to come back, and it's us. Mainly,
I got you.
Yes.
All right. So who? Here's my other question. Who do I gotta blow to get invited to go out to the Hamptons? Like, what the fuck? Like, it sounds like you guys
get invited to the Hamptons with
like
who?
Like, you guys got houses out there. There's radio shows.
Yeah.
I should have led with this question. Like, what the fuck? Like,
it's the LIE is an open expressway.
I know,
you can get out there.
I mean, what's going on out in the Hamptons? I've never been to the Hamptons.
Are you kidding?
I swear to God.
Well, here's the deal with the Hamptons.
What is so fast? Like, what is so good? Is it good?
I love it because I have it figured out. So I don't go to... Like the Hamptons magazine parties, or there are a lot of parties where you'll see a lot of housewives,
right?
And where you'll see maybe Christy Brinkley and I'm trying to think who else are like Chuck Scarborough, Hamptons people who are at
these. You see Chuck out there?
No. You would go if you went to like a Hamptons magazine party or Taste of the Hamptons or Bridgehampton Polo or stuff like that.
Right.
I really, and you won't believe it because I seem like I'm such a scene guy, whatever. I've got little love shack right on the water. I am totally groovy. I hang out at my house.
Right, it seems like
I write a lot. Today I wrote until 3 o'clock. I went over to my friend Marcy's house. It lives on the ocean. I park at her house. I swam in the ocean for 20 minutes. I jumped in her pool.
Fuck.
And then
can I get Marcy's
my dog
number?
Ran around. Yeah, I will get Marcy Klein. She's the best.
Yeah, I want to go swim or something.
And then,
you know what I did today?
What?
Fucking hiding in the heat of my apartment on the east side. I'm dying.
So I'm just
I walked down to the public pool. There was a line to get in. Yeah, I'm not bullshit with you.
Being in the city during the summer is tough.
What's the point? It's a joke.
You know, I really go from friend's house to friend's house. I don't go out a lot. I don't go to clubs.
Right. Who goes to clubs?
It's douchey. It's like a Scott Disick kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's not my Hampton scene. So I'm not going to a lot of white parties or whatever.
Got you.
I get invited to shit.
Of course.
But I don't really go, you know, like, I really just kind of go to people's houses.
I hear you. Okay.
Yeah, and
right.
their back roads. Because, by the way, because you
traffic,
could go
right?
and it would suck. You could go and people would be like, you would be like, this sucks. There's so much traffic. Like, what? I couldn't get a reservation. So if you do it that way, it is going to suck. You got to go the back roads.
Right.
You got to stay away.
You got to know what you're doing,
right? You got to know what you're doing. Otherwise, it will suck.
What do you do to make... Because you're writing another book you told me about.
Yeah.
You're doing this show. You're guesting on other shows. You're doing the live shows. I know you don't do them all the time.
With Anderson Cooper. I got my radio channel.
You got the radio channel?
I'm producing The Housewives. I'm an EP of all The Housewives.
Right. How do you manage your time? Like, personally?
I just... You know what? I'm very deadline-oriented, so... Whatever my deadline, I meet every deadline.
Right.
So if I know that I have four cuts of Housewives that I have to watch, two by Wednesday and two by Thursday.
Wait. What do you mean four? Like four cuts of each episode?
Four cuts. I have a cut of Jersey and OC that I have to watch by Wednesday, and two New Yorks by Thursday, and two
Holy
different
shit.
Episodes.
And then
that
you
I have
give
to,
notes.
I give notes on them, send them to the edit, and so I know I have to do that. I had my copy edit for my book due tomorrow for the first half. I did that. I got Bravo legal notes. So I'm like, I have my radio, live 2-hour radio show in the morning.
Are you doing that every day, the radio show?
No, I just do it. I tape stuff at Watch What Happens Live, and then I do live on Monday mornings on the radio. Yeah.
So
I just meet my deadlines is how I do it. And then I still make time.
But are you like a get up early in the morning person?
No, I have to because I always have something in the morning that I don't want to do.
Right.
But I don't, I would rather sleep until 10:30.
Yeah, well, I would too. But I mean, you're prolific and you're taking care of shit and you're doing your thing. It seems like I
get my shit done.
Like one of these 5 a.m. Kobe Bryant type of freaks.
No. Tomorrow morning, I have the radio at 10. I'll wake
That's
up.
That's not bad.
No, I'll wake up at 8:30, walk my dog. I'll be out the door by 9:20. And take the subway up there and do
you
it.
Really?
Yeah.
So when you're on the, because when I ride the subway, people always say this to me, what the fuck are you doing on the subway? Like, and like, or why are you on the subway? What are people, they must trip out when you're on the subway.
Some people do. People are pretty cool. Yeah. Some people are like, can I get a picture? Other people, I meet a lot of straight guys on the subway. That's
right. They watch the show.
That or their girls watch the show.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's what they say.
Yeah. Listen, I'm a fluffer for straight guys. Straight guys love me because basically what I do is their chick watches my show, they play the drinking game, and it's quick. And for the guy, if they're watching, I show a lot of boobs, I have salacious talk.
Right.
I have a lot of sex talk. And then the show's over and the girl's like, I'm horny, or you know, whatever.
They're ready to go.
They're ready to go.
I don't think that the.
I'm a fluffer for sure.
I hear you. I don't find the. I'll let you go. I don't find Bravo or Watch What Happens Live.
An aphrodisiac.
No, I don't find it specifically like, you know, it's women. I mean, it's obviously women driven and it's women based, but I just find it entertaining.
Well, I think what it is also for couples who watch, because a lot of couples come to see me and Anderson. It's good for couples. It's good. It's just good fodder. It's bonding for couples.
Right.
And it makes a girl feel so psyched when their guy will watch The Housewives with them. They love it and they think their guy's so cool. They're like, oh my God, my guy. And then every straight guy should watch Vanderpump Rules and Southern Charm.
Absolutely.
It's like, they totally should. It's perfect reality TV for straight guys.
Absolutely.
Okay, I have to go
Andy,
get made up.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks, dude. Thanks for having me on.
It's my first
stereo podcast.
I know, it's mind-blowing.
I love it.
All right, thank you for doing this, Andy.
Network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
What else are we going to do on the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast today? We are going to get the unofficial official political correspondent, Eli Lake. I need him to explain to me why the Feel the Burn Bernie Sanders supporters are still shitting on Hillary Clinton. Listen, here's what I want to tell you, you fucking nuts. She won. Bernie, I fuck with him. He's Jewish. I like him. I felt like him being in the White House would get me in the White House. I felt like somehow or another I was going to be in the White House eating bagels, cream cheese, and lox with Bernie Sanders. But it didn't happen. Now you need to regroup, get your fucking head together, okay? Get your mind right, and make adjustments. You want to say you don't want to vote? Who's that going to fuck? Even Bernie. One of the biggest, most important political figures has endorsed Hillary. It's like sore loser. You lost the fucking game. Now it's time to get your fucking head out of your ass and make the adjustments. Now listen, I know some people I don't want to get into the political stuff. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I don't fuck with Donald Trump. Okay? I don't feel comfortable with him. As much shit as I like to talk. The president shouldn't be a shit talker. The president shouldn't be a hate monger. Okay? Here's another thing that I wanted to point out to the people. Forget Republican, forget Democratic. All people of all races, I think you could understand this. Forget what they were saying, forget who was speaking. Look at the crowd that showed up to the Republican National Convention. Take a look at that crowd. Okay, and then take a look at the crowd, just the crowd that showed up to the Democratic National Convention. Which crowd looks more like America? You fucking crazy fucks. You might want this to be all white. You might want this shit all to be vanilla, but it ain't. America is a melting pot. It's going to continue to be a melting pot. And if you look at that lily white fucking crowd, those red-faced, rabid white motherfuckers that showed up for the Republican National Convention, and you just look at the eclectic mix of people that showed up for the Democratic National Convention, what looks more like America? Not what you want America to be, but what's actually in America. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Democratic National Convention, the people that showed up, forget the celebrities, forget the celebrity endorsements and all that stuff, just look in the crowd at the faces. The eclectic nature of the faces, and then figure out that means something. That means something. One looks like America, the real America, not what your fucking white hope dream is. The real America. It ain't never gonna be some all white shit. So take that lily white hate shit, go into the backwoods, inbred with yourself. And create your own fucking country. Get on a raft. You're so fucking smart and handy and this, that. Fucking go away then if you don't like it. Because this is America. It's for every fucking body. The Latins, the Chinese, the blacks, the Jews, the Catholics, the Tunisians, the Filipinos. This is America. Yes, shit needs to be fixed. We all know that. But just take a look at the crowd at the Republican National Convention. And I don't care about these slick. They had a couple of Chinese dudes in cowboy hats. How come everybody who was of any other nationality at the Republican Convention had on a fucking cowboy hat? Well, what is the secret code of that fucking cowboy hat? Fuck that fucking cowboy hat, that Lone Ranger shit. It's 2016. What's the secret code with that? I never seen Chinese people with cowboy hats and a handful of black people with cowboy hats. Get the fuck out of here. You know, but the politics brings out, brings out the worst in people, man. Hillary said, Michelle Obama, the first lady, said realized that she was proud of where she was and where the country was, that she wakes up every day in a house built by slaves. This is real. This is truthful. And then on the internet, people, that's not true. This is the... Shut the fuck up. It is true. No one wants to deal with the truth. It's okay. It's in the past. But you want to act like that shit didn't happen? The White House was built by slaves. And you don't know. It was rebuilt. Yeah, somebody said it was rebuilt. Shut the... Who built the fucking house? people want to acknowledge like these things didn't happen. Okay? And it's so, well, hundreds of years later, true. But the ramifications of it are still in effect today. They're still in effect today. Everyone wants to talk about, well, Hillary did this and she's done this. You think any of these politicians are clean and sober? Do you know anybody in your life that's clean and sober? So what, they're politicians? Does that mean that they haven't done anything? Her emails. I don't give a fuck about her emails. But Eli Lake is going to help me understand and help the viewers of the Ian Rappaport Stereo podcast, the listeners, understand why people have a beef with Hillary. I'm going to also ask him what Trump's alleged ties are to Russia are. We have some unseen, unheard footage of Danny Aiello. It happened. Danny Aiello spoke at the Democratic National Convention. It got cut off at the end. But what we have is golden. So we have that. What else do I got for you? I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm so concerned about where we are as a country, where I am in my life, where my stool is on a daily basis. I say my stool. Yes, my stool. I'm having stool issues. What else is popping? Yo, I started a show. I don't know how many of listeners of the Ian Rappaport Stereo podcast have Sirius XM radio, but I started a show, a fantasy football shit-talking extravaganza on Sirius XM every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern, channel 210 or channel 87. With this dude, Guru John Henson. It's going to be fun. A lot of shit talking. It ain't just fantasy. It ain't just football. We're talking about everything. We're going to get into this now with the great Eli Lake.
Yo.
Yo, Eli.
Let's do it.
All right, let's just jump into it. For those of you who have never heard the unofficial, official political correspondent of the Ian Rappaport Stereo podcast. His name is Mr. Eli Lake. He is a contributor to Bloomberg News. He's done stuff with CNBC, MSNBC, I don't know, WABC, WCBS, WPLJ, anything that has to do with news. My man Eli Lake has done it. All right. And I just want to jump into it, Eli.
Thank you. Honor and a privilege as always.
Listen, it's an honor and a privilege, and it's educational in a non-boring way to have you on here. The people love you. The ladies love you. Everybody is excited to have you back, and so am I. So let me just ask you this. We're deep into this election season, the Democratic National Convention. What's up with the feel the burn Bernie Sanders people? Here's my first question. Okay, I understand, like, you know, a sore loser. I'm one of the sorest losers you're ever going to find. I get it. People wanted Bernie to win. He sort of captured the hearts and imaginations of people. Who would have ever thought that an old Jew from New York would be this beloved? I never would have thought it myself. I get why he was so liked. I get why he is still so liked and loved, but he lost. Now, aside from the fact that the Bernie Sanders supporters wanted him to win and he didn't, what is the Bernie Sanders supporters and other people's problem with Hillary Clinton? And I don't give a shit about her emails. We already covered that. I said that I think that there were some dick pics going back and forth with that. You didn't confirm or deny it. That is just my theory, okay? I don't give a shit about her emails. That didn't bother me at all. But what is the problem that people have with Hillary Clinton? What is all this lock her up shit? Lock her up. What the fuck do they want to lock her up for?
Well, that was from the Republican convention, was the lock her up. And then some of the Bernie supporters were saying it. And this is, I think that there is a lot of stuff that they, a lot of problems they have with Hillary. Off the top, you know, she is somebody who gave very well-compensated speeches to Goldman Sachs and other major New York investment banks, and the whole Bernie Sanders movement is about getting really big money out of politics. so just off the bat, they see Hillary Clinton as on the other side of that issue. And they see her as part of and a representative of a corrupt system, which Bernie Sanders, his entire campaign message is, this is a political revolution, and we're going to bring down the corrupt system. And that was his campaign.
Now, and when you say corrupt system and big money stuff, big money businesses, what do you mean? Explain that in layman's terms. Because, you know, we hear like the big, but why shouldn't the big money people be involved? It's like the big money people are the boosters. The big money people are paying for the campaign. What is wrong with big money people being involved with politics? I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I have no fucking idea what it literally means. And the reality of it is I think most people don't know what it literally means when that term and that sort of thing is thrown around. Get big money businesses out of politics. What's wrong with big money businesses being in politics?
Well, let me give you an example. There's a huge trade deal called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is super complicated and is still highly classified. It's a secret document. But lobbyists for corporations that are extremely interested in that trade deal have seen the drafts of the agreements and have been privy to those documents that until WikiLeaks put it on the internet a couple of years ago, the American people were not legally allowed to see. They were kind of official secrets on a trade deal. So okay. That's one example that a lot of the – now, I'm going to make something very clear. I am not a Bernie booster, but that I think is a key argument that they would say is an example of the corruption of really big money in politics.
Okay, that makes sense.
I mean – on the other side, more to your point, I don't think that there is a single big moneyed interest. The coal company will have a different, or I'm sorry, coal miners or coal mining concerns will have different interests than people who make environmental technology. And so a lot of times there'll be money in politics to fight other moneyed interests in politics. So it's not like there's a single, like all of the gazillionaires and billionaires get together and they all agree that this is how we want the country to be like. So there is a difference there. And I'm not in the Bernie camp, but I think that that's something that they would say.
Okay. And then this whole lock her up. I want to know about the lock her up and explain to me why she's associated with the massacre in Benghazi. So explain the locker, or is the lock her up thing just some crazy shit? Like what do they want her to be locked up for? Like you say lock her up. And by the way, you know, I think just because these assholes show up at both the Democratic and Republican National Convention, just because you show up doesn't mean you know what the fuck you're talking about. You know, some of these people, they're cheering, but I feel like it's just like, it's like picking a team. It's like the Redskins versus the Giants. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're in there, you're cheering, you're like, lock her up and fuck Hillary. I'm feel the burn. What are you talking about? Like, it doesn't mean that you know as much as my man Eli Lake. Anyway, finish what you're saying. Please explain this to me.
I mean, the argument that Hillary should be lying, I mean, there have been a litany of shady ethical questions about Hillary going back 20 years now. Republicans went after her in the 1990s for something called Whitewater. There was the latest thing with the email server, which, you know, that there was an argument that somebody who wasn't a high senior official would have faced potentially jail time or at least been fired from their job. And on Benghazi, I've written a lot about Benghazi. I mean, there were allegations at the Republican convention last week that she's responsible for a terrorist attack, but that's nonsense. I mean, the terrorists are responsible for a terrorist attack.
But real quickly, though, remind everybody what happened in Benghazi.
Okay, so about 4 years ago, during the presidential campaign, right after the Democratic convention in September, on the anniversary of 9/11, the U.S. lost its first ambassador in, I think, nearly 20 years in a terrible attack at an outpost in Benghazi, Libya. And that attack was originally described as a demonstration against an anti-Islamic internet video gone awry, but everybody knew that it was a terrorist attack. And the Obama administration and Hillary has gotten into a lot of trouble for saying for about 10 days to about a week, 2 weeks, trying to say that it wasn't a terrorist attack, that it was sort of, you know, part of this global demonstrations in the Muslim world against this video.
Mm-hmm.
And that has become a huge issue, particularly for Republicans, And then there are other questions about whether or not the State Department in general, and Hillary was the Secretary of State, so she has some responsibility there, declined requests for more security for that outpost. And not to confuse it even more, but this was mainly a station for the CIA, and the CIA was supposed to do a lot of that security, so they screwed up too, but the director of the CIA isn't running for president, the former Secretary of State is.
Right. And then what else? What is the other general, besides the fact that she's a Clinton and the 2 points you made, is there anything else that I'm missing that I need to know why so many people, or it appears that so many people have a beef with Hillary? Because I think my prediction is, you know, the Trump people are going to do this and the Republicans are going to do that. I think this is going to be a fucking landslide. I think that Hillary's going to win in a landslide. I'm concerned because, you know, of Pandora's box. Or is it Pandora's door? What the fuck do I know?
No, it's Pandora's box.
Pandora's box. The hatred that it's sort of, you know, resurfaced its ugly head. And, you know, Trump, with his all make America great shit again, I feel like his presence and just talking that shit has set America back. I feel like sort of open racism, as long as I've been along, which is only 46 years, I've never been alive, you know, where there's so much open racism in the climate. So he's saying make America great again. Since his presence has come, I feel like he's already brought a bad element to it. But explain to me, what are the other things that people that are anti-Hillary have against her?
So this is such an important story. And it's unfolding this week during the convention. And that is WikiLeaks just released new emails from the Democratic National Committee, which is supposed to be neutral in the Democratic primary.
Mm.
And those emails forced the head of the Democratic National Committee, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a New Balance wearing, Balin locks eating Ashkenazi American like us.
Yes, yes.
To resign. Because she's in some of these emails trashing Bernie and saying we need, you know, he's not going to win, and showing that the Democratic National Committee really was putting their thumb on the scale for Hillary, which is something that the Bernie people had said during the primary when they were fighting it out. But these are like the emails that finally prove it. So that got everybody riled up for the first night of the convention on Monday. Where the supporters of Bernie Sanders, that's where I think you're getting that locker up and the fact that they really didn't come on board. But, you know, Bernie endorsed Hillary and gave a very positive speech for her. So did Michelle Obama. But those emails pissed off a lot of the Bernie supporters because they said, wait a second, the national party is supposed to be neutral, and they were in it for Hillary this whole time.
That makes sense.
But then there's another wrinkle, and that is, There is a lot of evidence so far, according to cybersecurity experts, and I wrote a column about this on Monday, that the Russian government was behind the initial breach of the Democratic National Committee that just had these emails exposed by WikiLeaks. Now, take a step back, but if that's the case, then it certainly looks like Vladimir Putin is trying to interfere in our election to tip it to Trump. And that raises a whole series of crazy questions. Now, to give it some historical perspective, Richard Nixon became the only U.S. president who resigned because of ordering the break-in of the Democratic headquarters at the Watergate. Imagine if he had used the KGB. Now, we don't know yet whether Trump work in collusion with Putin or that Putin is doing it independently. And I'm not prepared to make that leap, but there is a lot of smoke here because Trump has been unbelievably, for a Republican especially, really like unprecedentedly kind of pro-Putin or pro-Russia. He has talked about maybe not coming to the aid of NATO countries that have, you know, being attacked by Russia, which is music to Vladimir Putin's ears.
Mm.
So then he also, I think we talked about in my first appearance on the podcast, he has hired a guy named Paul Manafort, who worked for Russian oligarchs and helped elect basically the Ukrainian president, who later had to step down when there was a popular revolution in Ukraine and kind of, you know, was very pro-Putin, who escaped to Russia. So there's a lot of these really strong questions that are out there. But if Russia did a cyber hack and then gave it to WikiLeaks to influence the election, that's like unprecedented.
Right.
That's Putin is fucking with our election. That's really bad.
Wow.
And it's like it raises a whole nother level to this. You see what I'm saying?
Do you think, what do you think the chances of that being figured out before the end of this election?
Well, the Russia part is already out there. I wrote about it. Other people have written on this particular angle about, you know, experts in cybersecurity have said that the source code that was used is similar to other hacks that have been attributed to actors that are affiliated with the Russian state. So that's already out there, and the FBI is now investigating that. But will we ever know if this was done in collusion with the Trump campaign? That we may never know. I doubt that's going to be solved before the election. I'd love to break that story, but that's a whole separate question. But on the issue of the Russians getting involved, I mean, I think that we will probably know a lot more by the end of the election.
You know what I just figured out? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to take a little segue here. I learned about this word collusion during my first year of fantasy football in the Howard Stern Fantasy Football League, collusion. I never had heard this word before. And then you saying it now, I thought it was only a fucking fantasy football word. But the point that I am about to, this is going to blow your mind, okay? And you could be the first one to break this tomorrow at Bloomberg News. It's going to blow your mind. Collusion, you know the term cahoots?
Yes.
Boom. That's where it came from. The root of cahoots came from collusion. You take that, you do what you want with it, you run with it, okay? I love having you on the show. You could take that information I just gave you and run with it. I'm just connecting the dots here. Collusion, cahoots, boom.
Boom, knowledge darts.
Yo, Eli, what else? What other things are sticking out with you in the political world this week? What other things, you know, do you think you could help me wrap my brain around and simplify for me? Because the thing that I love about having you on the show is you really help me understand in layman's terms. So is there anything else that you want to add that you think I should sort of be aware of and pay attention to?
Well, it'll be really important to watch what Hillary says this week and to see what kind of message that's going to set the tone for the Democratic campaign. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, I think that this is a real test for her because she does have all the stuff that's out there. She's trying to kind of unite that party. And she realizes, like, the stakes are so high right now, and she needs to have people who normally wouldn't vote come out. So she's got to thread that needle, and this is the speech of her life. So if you've been following Hillary Clinton, definitely watch that. And then, sadly, on the negative side, we saw another terrible ISIS attack in France, and it seemed to be on a rampage. So
disgusting.
It's like the key question is, you know, in 1968, when Americans elected Richard Nixon for the first time, he ran on a campaign of law and order because 1968 was chaos. Martin Luther King was killed. Bobby Kennedy was killed. You know, it was chaos. And there was, you know, the 68 Democratic Convention where you saw the Chicago police beating up the demonstrators. And he was the candidate who said, I'm going to bring back law and order. I'm going to be the father figure this country needs. I think that Trump is trying to do that, but he keeps getting too crazy and saying things that are, I think, amateurish and don't make him look like he's competent.
Right.
And I think that Hillary is going to try to be that figure, like that I'm going to be the one who's going to bring calm, confidence, security to the state. Because I don't know about you. I mean, you're in New York and L.A., but don't you feel that the country is going crazy? The world's going crazy right now with all the police shootings and everything like that?
Of course, man. There's so much going on.
I mean, and it's like, yeah, so that's the key. So she's got to, like, you know, is she going to be that person that Americans would say, all right, I trust you to kind of tamp it down and bring back order.
I think she's gonna do it. And you know, I spoke earlier about this. One of the things, forget what people are saying, how they're saying it. Obviously, both sides have good speakers, and a lot of heartfelt speakers. The thing that I've noticed, and this watching closely, this is the first time in my life, to be totally honest, where I've went home to watch the Republican and Democratic conventions. I'll be straight up. I've never oh, I'm going to go home and watch the conventions. If you look in the crowd of the Republican National Convention, forget the celebrities and the people we know, just the faces in the crowd and the kind of people that are there. And what I'm saying kind of, I mean, majority just white people. And if you look at the crowd and the eclectic nature, the eclectic mix of who's at the Democratic National Convention, the reality of it is the forget who you want to win. America is it looks like the Democratic National Convention. It's a hodgepodge of people. There's all sorts of colors, races and creeds. And despite what some people want, that's America, you know. And just that alone, it makes me feel more comfortable. You know what I mean? Like, it's like there's black people, there's white people. There's not just like, you know, there was some people, like there was like some Indian looking dude at the Republican National Convention. I swear he was blinking at the camera because he wanted to get people to know, like, I'm a hostage, please help. He was doing some sort of sign language with his eyes. So, you know, just that alone, you know, I think it means something. Anyway, I'm new to all this politics stuff. I've never cared and been so emotionally invested. I appreciate your time again, Eli, and your insight and you breaking it down in really simple terms. We have some unearthed footage of a speech that CNN, none of the big networks have. Danny Aiello at the Democratic National Convention. It's a real earth shaker. And other than that, man, I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say the next time you'll join us on the podcast. And I always appreciate it, Eli.
Oh, thank you so much. I love doing it. Say hi to Mr. Moody for me, please.
I will. And we'll talk to you soon, my man.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, as I told you earlier, we have broken ground once again. We are unearthing, never heard, forget what Bloomberg, CNN, Fox, New York One, ABC, NBC, whoever you listen to, the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast is now going to play unheard, unseen footage used from the 2016 Democratic National Convention from my favorite, Danny Aiello. He was invited to speak. I don't know why this wasn't aired, but it's riveting stuff. For some reason, it gets cut off at the end. But he had the crowd in a fucking he had him fired up. All right. My name is Danny Aiello. I've been in about 117 movies. I was born in the fucking Bronx. How you doing, people? Yeah, some of you born in the Bronx. I was born and raised in the fucking Bronx. Marble Hill Projects, you cocksuckers. You ever been to the fucking Bronx? You ever walked up a fucking stairwell in the fucking Bronx? Marble Hill Projects was a fucking shithole. But I fucking made it out of there. I was a fucking headbreaker. I scrapped. I fought. I busted fucking bones to make it out of there. And you can too, you cocksuckers, you. Get off your fucking phones. Get off your fucking Pokemons. Take your fucking heads out of your fucking ass with your Google searches and start fucking living. Calm down, people, calm down. And to all you Bernie Sanders cocksuckers, listen, I wanted that hook-nosed Jew prick to win
just like you did. I fucking campaigned for him. I scrounged around the fucking Bronx saying, vote for this Jew cocksucker. He's fantastic. But he didn't fucking win. And you cocksuckers want to protest me? You cocksuckers want to boo me? I'll come in the fucking crowd with a fucking baseball bat. He fucking lost. 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 That's right. He fucking lost. Listen, I'm from the Bronx. I'm gonna be fucking honest. You think I ever thought a fucking broad would be president? I didn't think that. I had no fucking idea that would happen. But it's fucking happening. And I can't fucking wait. It's 2016, you cocksuckers. Screw your fucking heads on right. I fully fucking endorse Hillary Clinton. And if you cocksuckers from the Republican National Convention want problems, I'll be standing outside Marble Hill Projects. I'll be standing outside Marble Hill Projects with a fucking baseball bat. Bring your fucking guns. Bring your fucking hunting rifles. I'll crack your fucking heads. You...